On today's show, Ben Hartsock of ESPN Radio is going to join us. He was in the Grove last weekend calling Texas A&M Ole Miss. He's also been on the call for several other SEC teams that he's seen up close this season. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, the latest college football playoff rankings dropped. We'll discuss the implications for the SEC, and we'll go around the conference. Welcome in to Locked On SEC. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. I am Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and LockedOnSEC.com. Let's jump into it. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted. Makes the handoff.
What a catch. Around the conference.
And we start with our latest college football playoff rankings released last night. With just 2 weeks left in the regular season, little change near the top in the third edition of the college football playoff committee's rankings. The top seven teams include Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, and Michigan State. They all won this past weekend, so the rankings remain unchanged there. The top-ranked Bulldogs improved to 10-0 with a 41-17 win at Tennessee. That gave them a perfect 8-0 record in the SEC for the first time in school history. They remain on that collision course with number two Alabama in the December 4th SEC Championship game. Of course, Alabama took care of New Mexico State this past weekend, 59-3. Other SEC teams coming in at the rankings, of course, Mississippi State down there at 25. Auburn losing this week. They dropped out of the playoff rankings. Arkansas moves up to 21. They will play Alabama this weekend. And Ole Miss, they are up to 12. Texas A&M, they dropped a couple spots back to number 16. So there you go. All the SEC teams in there ranked. The interesting part here, because we don't think Ole Miss, you know, can play a factor or anyone else, question is, will the SEC get one or two teams into the college football playoff rankings, of course, or into the playoff? Georgia, as we know, if they win out, and they'll likely play Alabama in Atlanta, if they win that game, of course, Georgia remains number one, they're in. If Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC title game, you think Alabama's in, and you would assume Georgia also punches their ticket, you know, with it being their first loss. What will be interesting, though, since these rankings have come out, and they have had Alabama at number two every week, including after a dominant showing against New Mexico State, including a poor showing against LSU where they barely won. They're not dropping Alabama out of that second spot. They believe Alabama's the number two best team in the country. So what happens if Alabama plays a close game with Georgia in the SEC title game and Georgia wins and Alabama takes their second loss? What does the playoff committee do? Do they look at it and say, well, Bama's got two losses, we got to drop them back? Or do they say, this is justified in our minds? Nobody's played close with Georgia all year. If Alabama plays close with Georgia, then it reinforces in our minds that Alabama's the number two team. And you say, too bad, so sad to the Cincinnati's and the Notre Dames or the Oklahoma States or whoever, you know, undefeated or one-loss team that would be on the outside looking in. I think the playoff committee would take Bama in a close loss to Georgia in the SEC title game. That's just my thinking. We'll see what they end up thinking here in a couple of weeks. But looks like that's going to happen. Alabama's still got to take care of business against Arkansas this weekend and, of course, Auburn next week, but setting up that way, Bama will take care of business. They'll be in the SEC title game taking on Georgia. Look, from what I've seen from the line play in recent weeks, Bama's O-line will not be able to handle Georgia's D-line. But that's just my opinion at where we are right now in the season. All right, let's get to some other thoughts. Lane Kiffin, obviously, if he wins his final two games, it will likely put Ole Miss in their first New Year's Six bowl appearance. Kirk Herbstreit talking on the College Football Playoff Ranking show said, I'll say this, I don't know if Ole Miss can watch the film they played that they played A&M last week, but if DJ Durkin's bunch can follow that up the next couple of weeks, of course, you got a big one, the Egg Bowl Thanksgiving night. So if they keep winning, I know we get focused on the top four, but they've got a real shot to get to 10-2 and be a New Year's Six bowl team. Lane Kiffin is doing some great things down in Oxford. We talked about Georgia, some news over at Georgia. Kirby Smart updating the media on some injuries on his team. Wide receiver George Pickens, he has not played at all this year due to that ACL injury he suffered in the spring. And then Dominic Blaylock, he has not seen the field since the championship game of SEC championship game of 2019 against LSU. Kirby Smart mentioned the status of Pickens as well as Blaylock during a press conference this week. He said Pickens is still participating in a non-contact jersey, but is getting more reps and more volume. He said he's going up against the number one defense because there's less scout team work this week. And Dom Blaylock, he said, is currently sidelined with the flu. So wouldn't that be something if they got George Pickens back just in time for an SEC championship run and the playoffs? Would be something. By the way, running back Kendall Milton, he is doubtful to return this week, but he is probable to come back for the Georgia Tech game, according to Kirby Smart. He is Georgia's third leading rusher with over 250 yards and on 49 carries. He's missed the last handful of games. Over at Florida, Anthony Richardson, he's been banged up at times this year, and Florida's quarterback coach Garrick McGee talking with the media, well, he says it's a matter of Anthony Richardson conditioning and getting his speed in order to preserve himself and prevent further long-term injury. He said, look, Richardson's got to take care of his body on some of those runs. He's faster than kids his size, but he's so fast, and his muscles, they're going to strain when he is running. So just something to think about. If we think Anthony Richardson is going to be the stud quarterback that, at least I think he will be down the road in the SEC or wherever he ends up playing if he decides to transfer from Florida, he's got to take better care of his body because he takes a beating on some of those runs. Over at Texas A&M, Athletic Director Ross Bjork addressed rumors once again about Jimbo Fisher's interest in other head coaching positions, particularly the one open at LSU. Of course, the connection, Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU, hired Jimbo Fisher at A&M, pulled him away from Florida State. Jimbo tried to quiet down those rumors earlier this week, denying interest, but the subject keeps coming up, and Ross Bjork wanted to address that on his town hall show. Ross Bjork said, Jimbo is controlling the controllable. He's addressed this twice. He has been very consistent about his message and his words. We continue to recruit at a high level. I loved his response. You can't respond to everything. Jimbo said earlier this week, look, I'm about to have possibly the number one recruiting class at A&M. Why would I want to leave this? Of course, the simple answer is, wouldn't some of those kids follow you to LSU if you took that job? Simple explanation. Lastly, Tom Luganville, former guest on the show, friend of the show, he is hearing some rumblings about a prominent Big 12 coach, possibly in the mix for the LSU coaching opening. Tom Luganville, appearing on the Next Round Live in Birmingham, said there's something going on in Oklahoma right now, and I would not be surprised one bit if the next LSU coach is Lincoln Riley. When you're not at your Monday press conference coming off a bye week, and then all of a sudden nobody's talking, there's no information coming out of the building, your team was clearly not prepared last week against Baylor. They were not focused if you watched that game. Just a little something to keep an eye on, Tom Luganville putting that out there. It'd be a great hire for LSU if they get Lincoln Riley. Look, or anybody says, why would Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma for LSU? One, LSU, obviously the talent-rich recruiting in that state. You put up a fence around Louisiana, and you got great recruiting. You don't have to compete with anybody else in state. All you got to do is keep Saban from coming over, picking some guys out of your state from time to time. But the other part is Oklahoma's about to join the SEC, so why not make a little bit of an upgrade? Get with make a little bit more money and put yourself in a better spot when it comes to recruiting. Go over to LSU. Not saying it's going to happen, but Lincoln Riley to LSU, just one of those rumors that is floating out there. That is Around the Conference. When we return, we're going to talk all things college football and SEC with our buddy Ben Hartsock, former college and NFL tight end, calling games for ESPN and ESPN Radio. And thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Need to remind you guys about our friends at Prize Picks. Of course, we've been talking about them for all college football season. If you have not downloaded the app, I want you to go to the App Store right now. Pull it up on your phone. It is so cool. And look, they're a leader in college football or college sports daily fantasy, really. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. You go on there on a Friday. Look, we got games just about every night this week in college football, but particularly the SEC games. You could pick over, under props on rushing, passing yards, touchdowns, all kinds of stuff. You pick Matt Corral. You pick this guy. You pick that guy. And they've got them on the app. It is that easy to do. And all of our users that deposit, use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Go check them out. You can get their award-winning app today at the on the App Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. And Prize Picks is safe, and they offer fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Go to the App Store, download it today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Right along here, Locked On SEC, and a pleasure now to be joined by the one and only Ben Hartsock, former college and NFL tight end, calling games for ESPN, ESPN Radio now, doing his thing, making trips all around the country, calling college and pro games. Ben, welcome in, man. How are you?
Absolutely. Glad to be here, enjoying maybe one of my all-time favorite college football seasons. The parody, the competitiveness, the new faces at the top of the mark has been really fun to watch this year.
Well, let's start there, Ben. I know you were on the call this past weekend in Oxford, calling A&M at Ole Miss. What was that whole experience like, being in the Grove? College game day was there. What was it like just taking in that whole atmosphere?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've never been to a game day before. I haven't caught either as a player. You know, as a player, you go to all these places across the country, but you're locked in a hotel. Like, you never actually get to soak in these experiences. So now, as a broadcaster, especially this year after COVID and 2020 being taken away from us, we all did last year's games from our home studios. So I've really been intentional about going out and seeing these environments. So I've been to the Grove a couple times this year. I got to go to Happy Valley. I've been to some of these iconic venues. And let me tell you, Oxford, Mississippi is one of the most quintessential college environments I've ever been to. That the Grove is different than any tailgate you've ever seen. You've heard that before, but it's just so unique. It really is. The formality of it, the setting of being in this grove of trees is spectacular. It's so different than just a big parking lot with grills in it. Everybody dressed up. It was tremendous fun. And obviously this was a top 15 matchup. So the excitement was there, but the excitement was just as high when I was there week two, when they were playing Austin Peay. The culture of Ole Miss is one that even when their team isn't good, they still support them. They still care about this tradition and celebrating their team.
Yeah. So many places across the SEC, so unique. And when you've got chandeliers at a tailgate and red Solo cups everywhere, you know you're in the Grove, you know that you're in Oxford. Seeing this team in person, like you mentioned, not once but twice this year, how good is this Ole Miss team in your opinion? Obviously, Matt Corral, he gets all the headlines, but man, they run the ball so well. Jerry and Ely and Snoop Connor, and now here they are at 8-2. They play Vandy this week, and then, of course, the Egg Bowl. They got a chance here for a 10-win season at Ole Miss, and you know that's exactly what they were expecting when they brought in Lane Kiffin.
Well, Ole Miss is the perfect example of this year. They can beat anybody, right? Like, I don't know if this team, the year that Clemson's got Deshaun Watson, or Ohio State has Dwayne Haskins, or Alabama when they've got Tua, like maybe not, but this year, every team outside of Georgia has very real flaws. And so any team can beat another on any given day. And this Ole Miss team is a great example of that. They have looked top five caliber at times, but they've also looked outside of the top 25. They're a team that has flaws just like any other. I think the most compelling part of this game against A&M was the difference was the Ole Miss defense. You mentioned Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin, the offense. Like, they're a top five, top 10 team in almost every statistical category offensively. But this win comes down to the Ole Miss defense playing, coming up with critical execution at critical times. A pick six late into the second half that really finally grabs control of that game, and then a pick after that and a sack followed by a sack that ends the game. It was the Ole Miss defense to me that was the difference point in this matchup.
Talking with Ben Hartsock, ESPN Radio. You played in the NFL for many years, Ben. You know what it takes to play at the next level. Matt Corral is a guy I'm seeing on, you know, early draft boards, a first-round pick. What have you seen out of Matt Corral, and how does he translate to the NFL?
Well, he's a little undersized, only 6'1", right? Like, but that's getting less important. I mean, with the emergence of Patrick Mahomes a litany of quarterbacks nowadays, Baker Mayfields and those types, you don't have to be the 6'5" statue that we're used to seeing. So he has a tremendous combination of accuracy, downfield accuracy. He throws the ball with a whip motion. He's got a real Lane Kiffin mentioned this. He's got a flexibility about him. He's almost like a Gumby that he can throw the ball 70 yards downfield, but it's like throwing a whip. But then you couple that you mentioned the run game. Matt Corral's the leading rusher for Ole Miss. He didn't this past week, so I don't know if the table switched, but he was going into that game the leading rusher for Ole Miss. So he's a rare combination of athleticism, but with downfield accuracy. But he's a little bit slight of build, a little bit light in the britches, and that, you know, you can see that this year he's running on two bad ankles. He's been in and out of the lineup, having to get injections before the game, so it's hard to explain that away. I heard Mel Kiper the other day say that this has been the most perplexing year of quarterback evaluation maybe in his history of covering the draft. It's certainly not the quality that we've seen last year or the past couple of years. But one of these guys is probably going to pop and have a stellar NFL career. Is it going to be Matt Corral? I don't know that I'd throw a bunch of chips at that. He's a spectacular college quarterback. He's running that offense with a ton of confidence, even in a down game. He didn't have a huge game against Texas A&M, but no interceptions, smart with the football, and helped really lead his team to a win.
More with Ben Hartsock right after this. All right, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is that how you are running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? If you want to see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. They got visibility, give you visibility and control of your financials, your inventory, your HR planning, just everything when it comes to trying to grow your business all in one place. NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of survey businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 20,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Always fun to tell you guys about our friends over at Built Bar, still the best tasting protein bar ever. If you guys have not tried out Built Bar by now, I literally don't know what's wrong with you. Go to built.com right now. Go check out their great selection. Look, a lot of protein bars out there just plain suck. They're chalky, they're waxy, they're hard to swallow. Built Bar is soft, it is covered in 100% real chocolate. When you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience and tons of different flavors. from the mouth-watering flavors like coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, my personal favorite, the coconut, almond, salted caramel. There's something for everybody. And this month, Built is coming out with new limited-time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So go check out their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to Built.com right now. Use our promo code LOCKED15. If you've never ordered from them before, you will get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off at Built.com. Built Bar. Go check them out today. Continue our conversation with Ben Hartsock, calling games for ESPN, ESPN Radio, of course, doing SiriusXM work as well. And he's been all over the country calling games, was in the SEC this past week. And, Ben, I wanted to get your thoughts. You got to see Tennessee, Florida a few weeks ago. You're on the call there. How surprised are you with how competitive Josh Heupel has the Vols already in year one? Obviously, quarterback plays a big part of that with Hendon Hooker. But, man, for all they lost to the transfer portal and all that, I think a lot of us are surprised how good the Vols have been already in year one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to get to talk to Coach Heupel about when he got in the building, that team was shell-shocked. He could really sense that this is a team that felt wounded. And he focused a big chunk of his offseason on rehabbing, making these guys feel safe, goofy things, just team camaraderie, some chemistry builders, laser tag, and brought in, I don't know, I can't remember if it was a snow cone machine or, you know, just some fun team building things throughout that offseason to help bring this team back. It sure sounds like under Jeremy Pruitt, there wasn't a lot of fun and cutting up there in Knoxville. And so guys respond to that. To me, that's a great symbol of coaching in 2021 is you have to, the era of the iron fist coaches is kind of going away. It's the new era of coaching is how do you uphold the highest standard? How do you hold a standard like Nick Saban without being an absolute hated tyrant? I mean, even Nick Saban has adjusted. We have seen it's been like Grandpa Nick for the past couple of years.
Right.
And I think Josh Heupel in the same way is that new breed of getting the most out of his guys through positivity, uplifting, encouraging, while maintaining a high standard. You mentioned a lot of the transfers and the cupboard being pretty bare there. You know, it's a great example of how much scheme can help a team and his tempo offense. He mixes his tempos up. The way that he sends different packages of route combinations out there can overcome some talent gaps, and that's why they're staying in these games. But he's also able to me, the greatest mark of a coach is pulling more out of a team or an individual than they even believe they have in themselves. And I think that's what you've got with this Tennessee team. When I saw them versus Florida was at the time a top 15 ranked team, and they lost that game, but boy, they sure looked different. They sure played with a stiff upper lip. They bowed up at times during that point in a way that we haven't seen. We've seen that team kind of lay down, but Josh Heupel sure seems in his early tenure there, get these guys believing and headed the right direction.
Just, you mentioned Florida there. A quick thought on what's happened with them. When you saw them, they were riding high, man. They looked like one of the best teams in the country. The defense was playing well. The offense was humming with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. And now here we are a few weeks later. They get blown out of South Carolina. They give up 50 points to an FCS school in Samford this past week. And now a lot of people saying Dan Mullen on the hot seat. What do you make of what's happened with their season?
Yeah, you know, it's wild how quickly things can change in your narrative and your press release and your public image, and Dan Mullen maybe the biggest swing of the season. I think with Dan Mullen, I love his ability to deal with quarterbacks like that Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson thing. I could see he knew that Anthony Richardson, as dynamic as he was, he wasn't ready as a player. And then once it finally came that Anthony Richard had to play, that showed itself as true. But I think where Mullen is struggling is maybe it's discipline. Maybe it's like I said, it's about holding a standard and keeping things headed the right direction when adversity hits. it's easy to coach when you're riding high and you're playing well and you take Alabama to a two-point conversion away from a tie game heading into overtime. But after things go bad and you start losing some games, how do you take a team and help them stay the course? I think that's where Dan Mullen is struggling, and he's making matters worse himself with the whole recruiting comment after Kirby Smart talked about recruiting. And then Dan Mullen sits at that press conference and kind of dismisses and gets mad and storms off. That every move that a head coach makes, his team sees and reflects it. And so I think when you see a coach get frustrated and kind of stomp off and sit in his own dirty diaper a little bit, the team tends to as well. And I think that's what's gotten them where they are.
Yeah, I've never seen a team shut out the media, for media availabilities. I've never seen that result in a good thing,
think of a contrast to that was Wisconsin early this season. Wisconsin, I think they won one of their first four games, and everybody wrote off saying Wisconsin's terrible. They're no good. Just finish them off. They're done for the season. Well, they quietly, and it's a credit to Paul Chryst, stayed the course, continued to chop their wood, continued to find and get back to their core identity of run the football, offensive line play, and a dominant defense. And now they're in the driver's seat to win the Big Ten West. It would have been so easy for that Wisconsin team to pack it in, shut it down, and just write it up to a lost season. But Paul Chryst is one of those guys that's able to coach through adversity. And I think that's a stark contrast to Dan Mullen that's struggling in that same adversity.
Just a couple more for you, Ben, talking with Ben Hartsock. You got to call an Auburn game earlier this year. You saw Bo Nix. We saw some really good Bo Nix. We saw some really bad Bo Nix throughout this year. Now, broken ankle, he's out for the season. But what do you make of the season maybe he had, the roller coaster ride, and maybe the job that Brian Harsin's done in year one?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Coach Harsin. The big question for him coming into this season was, yeah, you had some success in the Mountain West, right? Like, what are you going to do now that you're leading an SEC program? And not just any SEC program, an SEC program that when you talk about unrealistic expectations, it's Auburn fans. That's the personification of unrealistic expectations. But I love that. As a guy that's an Ohio State grad, I understand unreasonable expectations and really kind of have learned to embrace them. So I love Auburn fans for, hey, if you're not going to win a national championship, you're not our guy. And so they're going to keep hunting until they find that guy. Brian Harsin, I think, as throughout this season, played in a lot of tough games. I remember the Penn State matchup they had midway through the season. I came out of that game saying, you know what, both of those teams deserved to move up in the polls during that time, because he's taken a team that had a strong defense. We knew about that with Zakobi McLean and Owen Papo, guys all over that defense that are all SEC caliber. Bo Nix has been better, I think, as a composite this year. Like you say, there's up and down, but that's kind of the definition of who he is as a player. A credit to Mike Bobo that they're with Tank Bigsby and that running attack, and then letting Bo Nix be creative when the time was right for him, but also try to focus him and narrow him down so that he's not outside of himself so much during the season. It's unfortunate he got hurt last week. I hate that, because I really think that Iron Bowl, I felt like there was more optimism going into that Iron Bowl as it being competitive, as it being a meaningful game more so than it has been in the past several years.
Yeah, and we'll see if TJ Finley, obviously he's played, started at LSU. He's got a chance to prove himself over these next 2 weeks for Auburn. Last one for you, Ben. Speaking of high expectations, a premier job, LSU, they have an opening right now. Who in your mind would be a good name for LSU to hire? We've heard some names. I know you're close to the Big Ten. Mel Tucker's name has popped up. Who in your mind would be a good hire for LSU?
Yeah, Mel Tucker is obviously the hottest commodity with what he's done this year. But the only reason I would pause on Mel Tucker is the lack of a body of work. One season doesn't make a coaching legacy. It's a great start. It's a great building block for him. But, Kenneth Walker has been stunning. Coach Tucker was at Ohio State when I was there. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. But if I were LSU, and I know LSU wants a big splash hire, It's a little bit concerning that it's a guy that only spent 1 year at Colorado and now is in his second year with one program. To me, the best fit and coupled with having the right pedigree or body of work is Mario Cristobal at Oregon. You know, an SEC guy that knows that area. He's from South Florida, so he's got connections there. I think he's a fit from a toughness perspective. I mean, Mario Cristobal goes into that Oregon program that still kind of drips finesse, the Chip Kelly, the Marcus Mariota, like some of the speed and finesse, not real tough guys. Well, Mario Cristobal in his time there has turned that into a bunch of bullies. The reason why Oregon beat Ohio State early in that season was they bullied an Ohio State team, and that doesn't happen very often. I think Mario Cristobal seems like the guy that has the right fit, the right persona, and I think he's got the right body of work of sustaining success in the Northwest. I think he could really do big things at LSU.
Last thing, Ben, before I let you go, I wanted to plug and promote your Instagram, at Ben Hartsock. Really cool what you've been doing, kind of documenting almost, going to all these different college campuses or pro stadiums. And I saw you've even got some YouTube videos out with some of your trips. Let our listeners know what you got there on your Instagram page.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I've really purposefully tried to focus on my YouTube platform this year, and you can just search me on YouTube at Ben Hartsock, search on YouTube. And I've been going to all these, like I said, it's just a matter of college football is spectacular. I love it. It changed my life. And now I get to experience, I played it, but now I get to experience it as a fan. And what's great is every university represents something special to someone different. And so to be at Auburn, to be at Florida, to go to Ole Miss, to go to Happy Valley, Texas A&M is absolutely one on my bucket list. There is such tremendous passion. I just love going to these places, trying to find a little bit of the background, some of the history, something I think I find a little interesting and behind the scenes or something you may not have known, and share that on a YouTube platform. There's so many people, as a guy that calls these games during football season, every time I'm around my people here in my home community, they all say, "Where are you going this week? Where are you going this week?" And so I thought, gosh, you know what? Everybody's so fascinated about what I get to go do. Why not share it with people? And so that's kind of the genesis of my YouTube channel.
Okay, so where are you going this week?
So this week I'm actually off. My next game is the ACC Championship.
Wow!
But I've got actually some games. I did a Baltimore Ravens game a couple weeks ago that I'm about to post. I went to a Georgia Tech game. Yeah, here's a great example. Georgia Tech's not a great team this year, but I'll tell you, there's some fascinating stories about their history that I told about in one of my videos. So those are coming up here in the next couple weeks. I've just got to get those edited, and then I'm hoping maybe even get to the Ohio State and Michigan at the Big House in at the end of Thanksgiving.
It's going to be a heck of a one, two top 10 teams. Ben Hartsock, ESPN Radio, calling all the games. Ben, can't thank you enough for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks a bunch.
All right, that is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. My thanks so much to Ben Hartsock for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow talking with our buddy Lynn Scarborough from Lindy Sports. And a quick reminder, go check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling, getting you all the picks that you need for the weekend that is to come. I'm Chris Gordy. This has been Locked On SEC. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.